You are now listening to the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks Internet Radio Program.
On the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks Internet Radio Program.
By the way, you better like that Facebook page again.
On Tuesday.
We need those likes.
No, we don't.
People, they go to the Facebook and they see how many likes we have, and they judge us by them. They judge us and they say, look at these fuckers, they don't have very many likes. We need the likes, Napier. We need all of them.
I'm contributing to the betterment of the world in my own way by bringing entertainment every week, right?
Well, you could donate to, like, you know, a food place.
You join the AmeriCorps.
I'm donating to thousands of people right now. I'm giving my time. That counts for something.
Well, of course, you can give your time in different, more
and
useful ways.
And this is more gratifying to me because it's a creative outlet. It's just giving corns.
No, you don't give corn to those places. They don't want your, like, used cans.
They're like, hey, you want my old corn?
I donate a lot of my time to my charitable partner, Captain Morgan. We get in on that together.
I do an international charity with my friends from every vodka maker known to man.
See, I wrote down some Travis jokes to try to cheer Travis up. But I think Travis just cheered himself up with his Captain Morgan joke.
I did like it.
Hey, Travis. Why don't they play much poker in the jungle?
I don't know.
Because there's a bunch of cheetahs. Guys! It's Monday night. Strangelabel.com. It's the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks Internet Radio Program. I, of course, am Mike. I'm joined by my co-host, Napier.
What's up?
Via Skype, Mr. Travis Hulse.
Hello.
Who's in a sour mood, Nate?
He wasn't like 2 seconds ago. I'm sure you're going to bring that back for him.
He was saying that he's in a sour mood.
And I'm in a sour mood. So I get like that. You know, it's just one of those things.
So today my mood is Travis night.
Yeah, I like that. Let's cheer me up.
Phone number to contact the show, 636-487-HAND or WFOD show on Skype. If you have a Travis joke, you give us a call. And share it with us. I got another one. You want to hear it, Travis, or you miss save it?
Yeah, give me... Well, I mean, if you have a limited amount of dad jokes, you know, pepper them through the show. I don't want you to blow your wad off.
Travis, I'm trying to get the mood going right.
Give me... Shoot me another
What
one,
do you
man.
Call an alligator in a vest?
I don't know.
An investigator. Oh, man, we got a whole hour of this, guys.
I'm a fan of that one,
You
too.
Know what we are. And Travis, you. I'm sorry, I cut you off.
No, go.
You wanted to share a story.
I had a story? Right? Did I have a story?
Just share your story, Travis. I'm not about to cut people off.
Once upon a time, a boy was born to Lorraine and Paul, and he grew up in a tumultuous atmosphere, experienced a lot throughout his young life, and grew up to be, you know, this guy. Oh. Travis, the guy you listen to once a week. And either love or hate, I don't think there's any in between. Middle ground there.
There's nobody that just tolerates Travis?
I don't think there's a tolerating. I think there's either, like, I long for the days when Travis wasn't on WFOD, and I think there's people that are like, yeah, I see where this guy's coming from. I'm on board. I don't think there's a middle ground.
You know, Napier, we did just celebrate our 2-year anniversary of Travis.
Maybe absolutely. That's why I'm depressed.
It was just a couple of days ago, I believe. It was the end of March 2014 that Travis debuted on the show.
Jesus.
It time just flies. To be honest with you, I seriously doubt we have anybody that listened before Travis at this point, because people, they come for a while and then they move on.
Like Starry, our one fan.
Yeah, yeah. The list goes on and on. But what I'm getting at is nowadays, I think that we are best known for breaking what's new and upcoming in the world of hip-hop.
I don't think that's correct.
We are absolutely those people.
I would say that that is kind of what we're known for. If you remember a while back, we introduced you to Bright Lights. And
Booty his, Don't Stank.
And his class. And you know what? On YouTube, where I believe is one of very few places you can get Booty Don't Stank. It does not have 100 views yet. So I don't think we like broke it, really. We're ahead of the curve, I think, because that song's going to hit.
So Booty Don't Stank didn't benefit from the WFOD bump? Like,
it did not, Travis. Well, I mean, more people know about it, I think, than, you know, the 87 views his YouTube may suggest.
And you did play it on the show, right? So, I mean, maybe that was...
I'm going to play it right now.
I think that's a great idea. Don't be up in a club like Booty Don't Stank.
Like booty don't stank, like booty this is don't a great
stank.
Song.
I enjoy the beat. It's got a good beat.
And the message is very simple. You should not be up in the club like your booty don't stank.
Everybody booty stank.
Having my ear to the ground of the hip-hop world, I stumbled across something that shocked me. Apparently, the food... hamburger helper. Have you heard of the hamburger helper, Travis?
Yeah, you got to put that food thing in quotes, though. Freeze-dried noodles and meat powder.
See, what happens is you get some hamburger and you cook it up, and you don't just want to eat hamburger. You don't want to just eat hamburger that you cook, Napes. You want to add something to it to make it extra delicious.
Well, exactly. You know the beautiful thing about hamburger is on a weeknight when you're getting the kids ready and they got to do their homework and all those kind of things, they got to take their baths, hamburger cooks really quickly. So
right,
the
best, right.
You know, it's a nice quick meal.
And then
the
you just throw in this noodly stuff and there you get meal right there. It's not just meat. It's also noodles. So you got a complete meal in one thing. You just slop some on a plate. You're done.
It's helping out your hamburger.
The hamburger helper, Napier. I'm tying this all into hip-hop.
Excellent.
They released a 5-song mixtape of hamburger helper-themed rap tunes.
I bet that's horrid.
You would think. You would think this is dog shit. And granted, I'm a suburban white fella.
Yeah, what do you know about hip-hop anyway?
What do I really know about hip-hop? Well, for one, I know that Booty Don't Stank is a goddamn classic. That's what I know.
Instant classic.
And if you agree with me, then maybe you will also agree with my assessment that the Hamburger Helper 5-song mixtape is fucking fire, yo.
Would I know any of
that
the artists?
That shit is dope.
Would I know any of the artists, or is it like the people who make the commercials, you don't know who these people are and don't care?
No, I think that these are probably underground folks that were probably paid a fee to take a break from writing their social conscious raps or whatever it is that they do to you know, collect a paycheck writing songs for the Hamburger Helper.
Do you think they'll be considered sellouts now?
I don't know.
Are there sellouts anymore? Remember when that was a thing? When you could actually be a sellout?
No, there's no sellouts anymore because all of the musicians that we've had on this program, like newer musicians within the last half a decade, they all immediately sell their songs to network television
programs.
That's
really the only way you can get your music out there that people could recognize. I mean, like, there's a band that was in an Apple commercial maybe a year ago that their song came out in like 2012, and being in an Apple commercial actually got them back, like, on the charts for the first time. Like, their song came out in 2012, and then all of a sudden they're in an Apple commercial, and now people pay attention to it. So it's really
didn't that happen with, like, Come On Eileen or some, like, Clash or My Sharona or some shit like that, too? It was plugged into, like, a commercial or a show or a movie or something, and then all of a sudden it was, like, on the charts 20 years later?
It's something like that, yeah. And the Monster Mash caught on 10, 15 years later. So, I mean, these things happen. That Gautier guy.
Yep.
The only reason that his song came out like 2009.
It's that damn old?
It's really old. And then Ashton Kutcher heard it and tweeted it. And that's why we know about Gautier now, is because Ashton Kutcher tweeted. So really.
Is he a black man or is he a hipster white guy?
A black man?
Yeah,
that was do I have that song on my iPad? See, because Travis doesn't even know what song I'm talking about.
I probably do.
The Gautier, Travis.
Yeah, that's somebody you used to know song.
Yeah, Travis, you remember this song, right?
Oh, he's a hipster white guy.
Yeah, he's
hipster white guy.
Yeah.
You remember this song, though. Travis, say you remember the song so we can move on.
I'm trying to listen. You keep talking. I can't hear it. Yeah, all right. I remember it.
Okay. So what I was saying is the Hamburger Helper mixtape is fire, yo. And I want to share the tracks with you guys. I just want to do the, hey, you guys want to hear these Hamburger Helper songs showcase.
Of course.
Did you ever think in a million years that you would say that out loud? Like, hey, guys, do you want to hear these Hamburger Helper songs?
Travis, I've listened to this 4 times. I've listened through the entire mixtape multiple times.
Well, let's cue it up.
This is Feed the Streets. It's about Hamburger Helper. They're all about Hamburger Helper.
But I won't stop.
Not getting the Hamburger Helper yet.
It's in there. I think he said vitamins and minerals. I don't think there's many vitamins and minerals in Hamburger Helper, is there?
I'm sure they're saying.
I've been in the kitchen. Whipping.
This one is my favorite.
Is this your favorite?
I think this is my favorite out of all five tracks. Y'all want beef and I'm a serving. Water whipping and I'm stirring. Y'all want beef and I'm a because it's like giving you a play-by-play of making Hamburger Helper. I think that I love that the most.
I mean, like, as far as songs about Hamburger Helper goes, pretty decent, right?
Yes.
Yeah, they could have easily just, like, grabbed a package of Hamburger Helper and just read the, like, directions on how to make Hamburger Helper off the back.
Are you saying that? Are you saying that didn't happen with this song?
It didn't happen.
This one's called Crazy. Come on, Nate.
Some call me crazy. That might be true. Cause if you take my hamburger helper, I don't know what I might do.
Right?
Can I tell you real quick, when you discovered this and passed it along to me the other day, I played it on my phone because that was the only time I could do it. So I was sitting on the couch, my kids were around, and I started playing these Hamburger Helper raps on my phone. And my 4-year-old boy bopped his head while my daughter was kind of swaying with the beat. So they also, like, children also enjoy the Hamburger Helper rap tunes.
Travis, when I was a younger teen fella, I had the amplifier and the woofer in my back.
Mm-hmm.
I need to put those back in my SUV and ride around bumping some Hamburger Helper songs. Now I got the fever to ride around and bump the Hamburger Helper songs.
So you were a trunk rattling guy in your younger years?
I mean, not really. I think I just wanted to. I just wanted a little extra oomph. You know what
little
I mean?
Oomph. Yeah. My buddy, one of my best friends, like we went through a rap phase too, and I love rap. Ice Cube, I think, is my favorite, but he had this little four door, like just like normal little car, and his entire trunk was his subwoofer and his like 20 disc changer for his car. I thought that was kind of overkill. And I hated riding around with him because then also we were the trunk rattling guys that, you know, pulled up to stoplights next to old people. And that kind of always bothered me. But, you know, the bass, I guess, was the benefit.
Napier, when we were talking about this, Travis informed us that he went through a brief period of time where he wanted to be a rapper.
Excellent.
Yes,
how'd that dream go?
It ended right there.
Oh, you just said I wanted to be a rapper and then decided not to?
I can't remember what it was. I was really into rap at the time. I had like a pretty solid rap phase for about 3 years.
Who were your influences?
Well, Ice Cube, the Ghetto Boys were a big influence. Bushwick Bill and Scarface were some of the more nonsensical influences, as well as Cool Keith. AKA Dr. Octagon, AKA about 10 other things. But Eminem I enjoyed at the time because that was like his heyday. Everybody from NWA. So I had a range of influences, and I actually had a composition notebook that I like to write down.
You wrote rhymes down in?
Yeah, I wrote some rhymes down. They were horrible. I tried back in the days of ICQ when social media wasn't a thing. I tried to freestyle rap battle people on the chat boards, which never went well. But I had a buddy too that was good. He liked house music, and he was a big Beastie Boys fan. So he always said that he could make beats for me if I wanted to. Like, he would make me track beats, and then I could rap over them. And then, you know, like with most things in my life, I began and then I never completed it.
We got Scrambler in the chat asking what our opinions are on Tuna Helper.
I don't have an opinion on that.
I've never tried
slop.
A different helper. I know there's a chicken helper, too. I haven't got into the chicken helper. But what I can tell you is that the Hamburger Helper mixtape is fire, yo.
You know what you should listen to?
What?
MC Chris and MC Frontalot.
My backpack got jets. I'm Boba the Fett. It's been on the stove so
long, I burn my lip. The beat's gonna drop any second. You ready? The beat's gonna drop!
You know, I'm really disappointed you didn't bring back MC Flames for this. We did the whole show like that. I would have been on board, even in this piss poor mood.
Well, Napier.
Yo.
And I don't want to get into a whole thing here, but we had a bit.
Yeah.
And we were going to have the Rice-A-Roni battle rap.
Yeah, I saw the lyrics.
Rice-A-Roni was going to combat Hamburger Helper with like a reply battle rap. I made a beat for it, and Travis said he isn't in the mood. He's in a bad mood.
What about now?
Travis was going to resurrect his rap career.
I do apologize. And
for
actually,
Rice-A-Roni.
I think if we would have waited 10 more minutes, I would have pretended to Skype call in as the Rice-A-Roni rep that was going to rap all of these ridiculous.
I ruined it.
Might have.
No, I'll edit this part out. We'll still do the bit, Travis.
I think the magic might be lost.
Napier, what's going on with you, buddy?
I'm fat and made a shit ton of beef jerky.
Well, what was the whole thing with this? You just you felt the urge?
I had very little else better to do.
You just were in the, you were in the mood for some.
Yeah, I was in the mood for some, but
and it's a time consuming process. I'm eating your jerky now. I'm eating your jerky under my microphone.
That's
it's
okay.
It's a time consuming process.
Yeah.
You know, you were going over your recipe for this delicious beef jerky before, and the only, like, reference that, I mean, I know people that make beef jerky, but the only reference in my own personal life that I have was my mom, like, had to buy a dehydrator from Ron Popeil, you know, because he had the infomercial. But she did this stupid thing because this fucking Ron Popeil dehydrator came with that stupid hamburger shooter that,
oh,
like,
God.
Put ground beef in there and it
shot
out.
Like a t-shirt gun?
No, it's like a caulking gun for hamburger.
Yeah. And it shit out like strips of ground beef, and it was the worst fucking jerky you could make. It would be tolerable if you didn't like dehydrate it too long.
So you get like a cardboard tube of hamburger?
No, essentially,
you shove it into the jerky gun, but you're supposed to mix it with like seasonings and shit. It's actually kind of a weird process.
No. I need more explanation on this because I'm not picturing
Do you know how a cock gun works?
Yeah, you ever seen cock?
Yeah.
Okay. So
but you get like a cardboard tube of cock.
And then you shove it in that squirter.
And then
right?
you pull the little trigger and then some squirts out the little
Imagine this contraption has a tube already built in, okay? You season your ground beef with whatever kind of bullshit you want to season your ground beef in,
yep.
and then you pack it by hand into this tube. You put the back cover on the tube, and then you squeeze the cock gun until it shits out a strip of ground beef.
But where does it mix?
You mix it before you put it in there.
It's like making meatloaf. Yeah, you just smash it together. You just smash it together, and then you shoot it out into a strip.
But how do you benefit from having a little strip as opposed to just making, like, cutting up your own little strip?
Because it's ground beef. You don't cut strips out of ground beef.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you cut it into patties or whatever, and you can
form it
however you want.
It won't be uniform.
That's the thing. The squirter was to make a nice uniform piece of beef jerky. But we're deviating from the point that ground beef jerky is fucking horrible.
Deviating from the point because now I'm worried that I killed the rice-a-roni bit.
I'm still interested in Napier's delicious beef jerky.
Okay, so Napier, you made delicious beef jerky, but you made it to a certain... You made too much.
Because
you were afraid that if you just made a little bit, that it wouldn't be worth the time.
Yeah, I mean, it takes a while to do, so I thought, oh, I'll just do this, you know, all weekend, and it'll be fun and exciting, and I'll be able to watch the Blues play.
How'd that go?
The Boston game did not go well.
No, it didn't.
No, it didn't.
See, this one is called In Love with the Glove.
Ooh. Is it about the cheese hamburger helper?
No, it's about the hamburger helper glove guy. They have a mask.
If you go to the SoundCloud, too, that you linked me to, my wife, that was the first thing she noticed. She's like, is that fucking glove covered in gold? I'm like, yeah, he's drenched in gold because he's a fucking gold platinum fucking rapper guy now.
Yeah, yeah. Like, watch the glove. Or watch the stove.
I have no idea what the song is about.
The Hamburger Helper mixtape is fire as fuck.
Yo.
So you made this jerky.
Yep.
And you passed it out at your work?
Going to various people? Yeah, I've done that before, and people seem to like it. But this went for too long. It's a little crispy. It's a little too jerkied.
All of it's crispy or just like the outsides?
No, all of it's pretty dry. Like it's drier than what you would think jerky should be.
The nice thing about that is your mouth is a natural rehydrator. So as soon as it goes in there... Not crispy.
Oh, I'm sure if you had like a beer with you and like a pocket of this stuff, oh yeah, better than beer nuts. It's just tasty, delicious, dry jerky. Makes you thirsty for some more beer. You drink that beer and wash down all those delicious salts and herbs and spices and shit. And it's awesome.
Is it?
Well, you ate some. Why don't you tell me?
It made me happy. Yeah, it was very good.
Could you see yourself eating one of these on like a... You know, summer's night, drinking you a beer outside, just hanging out, relaxing. You got your beef jerky, got your beer, and life is good.
Could you recycle your cock tubes?
Yeah, that's it there. You just clean out the tube.
Yeah, you just put it in the dishwasher. It's fine. Yeah.
It's just a tube you fill with meat.
Because the inside is like foil lined or something, right?
No, it's aluminum. It's an aluminum tube.
Yeah, so you could probably just clean that and then...
The one my mom had was plastic. It was just like any of your Pampered Chef tools.
Yeah, you just clean it out when you're done.
And make very fine-formed hamburger creations.
Yeah, it's like a sausage without a casing.
Like ice in a cake.
Well, yeah, you can normally make like little spirals out of it or
little
strips.
Hamburger spirals.
Yeah.
Might be pretty good. It'll get just a little bit crispier. You know what I'm saying?
Or it could be horrible.
Get a little crispy going on the hamburger.
Everybody that I've ever seen make those, they look horrible. They
like
look fatty.
Like a steak and shake hamburger. You know, that finely, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, but it's going to be...
It's got a little crispiness to it.
Yeah, but when you squish one of those, it's going to be about the size of a ruler.
Guys, look. I don't know what to tell you exactly. Hey, if you get a chance, go to the Facebook page. I recently put up the Adam Sandler March Madness of Unrealistic Romantic Interests bracket.
Was that one of those things that you thought up while you were like laying in bed at night? One of the things you were referencing before about how your mind just didn't stop? Because I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, yeah. It's a Sweet 16 bracket of romantic interests that Adam Sandler has had in movies that seem unrealistic for a funny-looking Jewish fella. Salma Hayek versus Taya Leone and Kate Beckinsale versus Leslie Mann. And
Drew Barrymore twice.
Well, Drew Barrymore times. Like 5 or 6 times, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And she's only on the bracket once, though, guys. Drew Barrymore is actually matched up against Carrie Russell, so I don't give her much of a chance in that.
No, out of all of them, I think Drew Barrymore is probably the one that makes most sense.
She's a low seed. The Winona Ryder, she's up against Jessica Biel. She's not going to move on, probably. Joey Lauren Adams versus Brooklyn Decker doesn't stand a chance. See, the lower seeds, they're probably going to go fast.
I'm betting so, yeah.
Once we break it down, though, once you get to those next rounds, though, it becomes much, much harder.
Well, I mean, we could just go through it real quick. I think Salma Hayek beats Taya Leone.
Yeah.
Kate Beckinsale definitely. Probably beats Leslie Mann. I like Leslie Mann. But I think that, like, if we're just talking in the looks department, I think that part of the reason that you're attracted to Leslie Mann is because she seems like fun. So Kate Beckinsale probably beats her. Bridget Wilson, Bridget Wilson versus Marissa Tomei. What do you think?
Marissa Tomei.
Okay. Yeah. That's an upset, I think.
Is that your upset?
That's a bit of an upset.
Marissa Tomei has been hot her entire life.
Katie Holmes versus Julie Bowen. I'd go Katie Holmes. Can you believe Katie Holmes was Adam Sandler's wife in a movie?
No.
I mean, really think about that, guys.
Which one was that?
Really think about it.
Which one was she married to him in?
The one that he was him and his sister.
Oh, God. No wonder I never saw it.
Yeah, yeah. She was his wife in Jack and Jill.
Who was the wife in the anger management one?
Oh, shit. That might have been Marissa Tomei, actually.
Maybe it was. You might be right.
Yeah. I'm just saying, check it out. Laura was talking about cutting the cord and getting rid of cable, and I was trying to explain to her that I don't really ever watch TV unless she's here, because, like, when she's not here, I'm doing stuff like making Sweet 16 brackets with chicks that Adam Sandler has been married to in movies. I mean, this is what I do with my free time. I don't watch reruns of
this is Mike's life. You know?
Well, at least it's creative. I mean, at least you have something when you're done. All I do is play World of Tanks.
Yeah, and I come home and I turn on IFC and watch 2 hours of that 70s show that I just saw last week. So you're doing good.
Anchor in the chat pointed out that Kevin James is not on the list. He is not on the list, but his romantic interest in that movie was actually Jessica Biel. The joke was that he was marrying a dude who he was friends with for, like, insurance purposes, but he wasn't really gay. I'm sure you probably missed that, Anchor. You might have missed, you know, I now pronounce you Chuck and Larry. But I saw it for both of us, so take it easy. And Kevin James would probably lose. I don't know who Kevin James would be.
I don't think it's that unrealistic.
I guess in the realm of unrealistic.
Yeah, they're not that far apart from each other on the look scale, so.
Yeah, like if you I wouldn't like say that one of them is more attractive than the other one, really. I mean, Adam Sandler's probably in a little bit better shape. Guys, yeah. Let's take a break, okay?
Let's reset.
We're going to reset. And I'm going to beg Travis to resurrect the Rice-A-Roni bit. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Thanks for being with us. Good turnout tonight for the most part, I guess. Yeah, there's some unsavory folks in there, but what are you going to do?
Getting strange for all you strangers. This is Strange Label.
This is not a test.
This is your emergency broadcast system announcing the commencement of the annual purge sanctioned by the U.S. government. Commencing at the siren, any and all opinions, including hate speech, will be socially acceptable for 12 continuous hours. Hashtags, social media block and report functions, and safe spaces will be unavailable until 7 a.m. when the purge concludes. Blessed be our new founding fathers and America. May God be with you all.
Hey, Alice! I've kind of always wanted to fuck you in the break room. Interested? No? Cool. I've just never fucked a black chick before. Hey, everybody! Fuck you! Oh man, today's gonna be great.
Holy shit, Karen! Jerry just walked by here in blackface.
How dare you? It's March 1st. It's his constitutional right to purge.
There's been a surge in social media, with Twitter generating 500,000 new accounts in the past 24 hours.
So what are your thoughts on the purge?
Well, shitty people have shitty thoughts. If we give them a day to work out all their frustrations, maybe the other 364 days, we can get past it and coexist.
Daddy, why is this happening?
It's just one day, Pumpkin. Let them wave their Confederate flags, and we'll just stay inside and watch TV.
Tonight at 8, a special presentation of the Westboro Baptist Church.
Maybe we'll just play a board game.
Once again, WFOD. Wheelbarrow full of dicks.
Welcome back. Phone number to contact the show, 636-487-HAND or WFOD show on the Skype if you're so inclined. We are joined now by our good pal Drunkard STL on the Twitters. Hello, Drunk.
Here I come to save the day.
Drunk, is that the guy that's got like an 88% on what's in Drunk's mouth?
Yeah, a new feature on the website. I made a webpage strictly dedicated to Drunk's What's in Drunk's Mouth record.
On what I have and have not gotten.
It has a breakdown with infographics on all of the items that have been in Drunk's mouth and whether or not he got it correct or not. I believe
Did he put what I guessed on the ones I got wrong?
I did not, no.
It could be a thing.
Fuck you, Drunk.
Mike, you got to start trying harder.
I'm just trying to help you.
Yeah, fuck me, right?
No, that's not a fucking...
Oh, I guess... You should have put what I guessed on. Fuck you, man.
Mike, you're taking it the wrong way. This is constructive...
It's been hours.
This is constructive criticism.
Here. You can take your constructive criticism and shove it right up your fucking ass.
I remember when my friend made meal web page.
Are you fucking kidding me?
You're just never good enough for me, Mike. What can I say?
I fucking make a web page for drunk, stupid ass game, highlighting the one talent in his fucking life that he has. And what does he say? Oh, well, you should have said what I guessed.
Well, Mike, obviously, like,
actually not a bad idea.
I feel like people will agree with me here.
You fucking asshole.
I know.
I can't believe you said that.
I feel bad for making you feel bad.
How's your week going, buddy?
It's going
Is it
good.
Going good? Are you making your final plans for your upcoming trip?
Yeah, we're getting there, and then I'm actually...
Are you buying the little bitty mouthwashes and...
No, I
the
got
travel
all that.
Size
I got
ones.
All that.
Oh, you have it from previous times?
Yes, sir.
Do you steal the shampoos from hotels?
For the most part.
You do, right?
Yeah. Why not? I mean, it's free shit.
Yeah. Do you take the coffee?
It's the North County in me. The coffee, sometimes, yeah.
The little packages of coffee.
But don't ever, drink the coffee at the place.
Why?
Because those coffee machines are gross.
Oh, the coffee machine is gross.
Yeah, so don't brew your own coffee at the hotel, but take the coffee that they give you.
Why do you think the coffee machine is gross?
They don't clean it, ever.
Do you clean your coffee machine?
I don't have one.
All the time.
Do you clean it?
Absolutely.
See, I have one of those Keurig things, and I don't think I've ever washed it because I don't really know how. I think you, run vinegar through it or something.
I think I read that somewhere. Well, you need to clean it with something or else bacteria is
going
to grow.
Water going through it? I mean, hot water going through it.
Yeah, but
it,
so
right?
Through the
what
tube?
What would I clean it with?
With the
water.
Vinegar.
I'd clean it with water, either, which is what runs through it.
Either vinegar or alcohol.
Yeah, throw a shot of bourbon in there.
not.
Okay, vodka. Throw something you
sure,
can't taste.
Yeah, okay. And yeah, you clean it that way. Or hydrogen peroxide will clean it, too.
Travis?
Yes, sir.
Travis, do we have a caller?
I don't see one, no.
Oh, okay.
So...
You sure? No call.
Let me check Skype again.
Okay, no
call. Yep, no, nobody here.
Okay. Did you see that nobody wants to go to the Olympics in Rio?
Why?
Having a hard time selling tickets.
For what?
Apparently, Napier was saying that the water's bad. It's bad water.
Is it worse than Flint?
Yeah, it's...
Oh, you're talking about, for the rowing and the...
And there's crime.
And there's shit water.
And nobody likes the government there.
Also, the Zika virus or whatever that is.
Yeah, the athletes don't want to go there because of the Zika virus and they don't get water. And there's a whole bunch of issues. And it's probably hot as fuck, too, right?
And humid.
And humid.
Yeah, so I don't see why anybody would, want to go there.
Well, I mean, it is going to be in the wintertime there when they're doing the Olympics.
You know, we find a thing for Drunk to do that he's actually pretty good at. I mean, is jamming stuff in Drunk's mouth really great radio? Maybe not.
He's also really good about pissing you off.
But
so that's two things right there.
But the challenge of Drunk, the challenge that we've accepted, is to find things to do with Drunk. Because it's so goddamn hard to get him to say anything. I mean, he was going to go on that trip and not even tell us about it. We have to, extract things from Drunk.
Well, I mean,
and really the only thing that Drunk contributes to the show is working me up.
And people like to actually listen to that, so...
The son of a bitch sits down and the first thing he says is, well, did you do this? That took me hours to make this
constructive
page.
Criticism, my constructive criticism.
He's not poo-pooing on your stuff. He's giving you things to make it better.
Drunk.
Yes, sir.
There's something that might interest you.
Do I have to do another stunt? Is it? It's not March anymore.
Well, maybe. This could turn into a stunt if we decide to purchase one. But Travis sent me a very interesting link earlier this week. Okay. Apparently, there is a new Indiegogo campaign.
Do I have to put on my headphones for this?
It probably wouldn't be a bad idea. I mean, you know, if you want to. Travis.
The Indiegogo campaign is to produce a new microbrew using vaginal excrement.
Vaginal, no, extractions. It's a...
Yeah, like yeast.
Vaginal excrement.
Yeah, like using the yeast from a vag in place of the yeast you would normally use.
Lactic acid that they... And they showed the lady whose vagina juice you're drinking. It's some Czech model.
Yeah, that makes it better.
So far, I think they've gotten, what, $10?
No, it was up to like $900, but they were asking for $150,000. So they're getting a little short on their goal. But the thing is they aren't giving you the beer as a perk. They're giving you like tchotchkes with the logo on it.
Or vouchers for when it does get actually made.
And the vouchers would be contingent on some store carrying the product, right?
To back this,
a coupon.
But to back this Indiegogo in the United States would be the biggest mistake you could ever make because you'll never see it. You'll never get it. It'll never make its way here.
Unless somebody, you just want a fun glass with the logo on it.
What a great t-shirt I got. You know, but it'll never be able to be imported here. Somebody in California tried to do a handful of years ago, like breast milk, like frozen yogurt or some shit. And it lasted about 3 months before it was shut the fuck down.
Well, I pulled the pitch. Do you want to hear the pitch for the pussy beer?
That's imagine a woman
so
of your
bad
dreams,
when you say it like that.
An object of desire. Her charm, her sensuality, her passion. Try her taste. Feel her smell. Hear her voice. Now free your fantasies and imagine that with a magic wand you can close it in one bottle of beer.
Wow, they're really churching up this twat brow.
Yeah, you like eating pussy? You like beer?
The golden drink brewed with her lure and grace and flavored with instincts. Which source we have identified?
Okay, that's real gross.
You know, if you have an experimental gal, you could just dump beer on her pussy and then, you know, go down on her.
Okay, you dump a bottle into it, like you do the butt chugging.
Not into her, onto it.
No, like you do the butt chugging, like you turn it upside down and you fill her up with the beer.
You get a nice good seal on that where you duct tape around it. So
you get something cheap like a Bud Light. It's going to be enhanced in the end anyway. You don't need this. What is it called? The Yoni?
Yeah.
Y-O-N-I. Is that Yoni? The Order of the Yoni.
A process.
I like it better thinking it's Yanni, and then he can be accompanied by beautiful saxophone music.
Her instincts by isolation of lactic acid bacteria from her vagina. Our laboratory isolates and multiplies the bacteria in a safe way.
Did you hear that sound effect, that bubbly sound?
Is one of the perks being able to milk this broad?
No, I want a video of the process.
Makes sense to me.
And see, the thing is they show this really attractive Czech broad, and they say, hey, it's coming out of her twat, right? But it probably isn't. In fact, it's probably made up.
If it's not made up, they're going to, like, harvest from, like, a half a dozen disgusting German middle-aged women
right.
that nobody can touch ever.
How does anybody know she even tastes good?
And by the way, not to put a damper on the Order of the Yoni here, but didn't Michael Douglas get throat cancer from this?
Yeah, he certainly did.
Well, additionally, we examine the final.
No, it was proven. They proved that you can get throat cancer from eating too much pussy.
We use the bacteria in the production of sour ales, lambics.
So what we need to do here is what we did with the World Speed Project, you know, the World Bone Collector Project.
We need to get this guy on the show.
No, what we need to do
is we do need to get this guy on the show.
We need to milk ourselves. We'll milk ourselves, and we'll create our own brew.
We're going to make jizz beer?
Yeah, why not?
What we need to do is have that British guy make a drop for us. He's got a soothing voice.
You are listening to the wheelbarrow.
Right, exactly. That's what we need to do.
Hey, Mike, you know what's
experience
a great...
Experience Napier's taste.
Yes.
His essence. His masculinity.
That's his amazing. Smegma.
Okay, Napier.
Yes.
You don't shower for 2 weeks.
Okay. Not liking where that's going.
I'm not liking where that's going either.
So what you're saying is,
luckily for me, 2 weeks from now I'm in Colorado.
So. Okay. You don't shower for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Then we put you on an exercise bike for like a really long time.
Ooh, in one of those like 80s like wrestling suits that get you really nice and sweaty.
Then we're going to bottle your essence. You know, we're going to get the good stuff. We're going to, like, wring it out of your shirt. Like, because you're going to sweat through a shirt.
Yeah.
You're going to get wet.
There was that thing in, I think, Jackass 3 where they put that suit on the guy. It was like a saran wrap suit and made him do the same thing. And then they cut a hole in it. And then they, like, all of the sweat poured out of the foot hole. And they made a dude drink it. So this is perfect.
But then we're going to make some beer.
Oh, my beer.
We have some homebrewing friends, don't we?
That makes me gag.
Don't we have some homebrewing friends? Who can take Napier's essence and work it into a beer?
We have homebrewing friends that can do that, yes.
This might possibly be our call to action to become the next Samuel Adams. We start as a microbrew, and we are going to be huge.
Now, originally, we coined the La Napier Chic brand of perfume, but perhaps we need to turn it into a designer beer as well.
And we could have, like, different flavors, like Dr. Napier and fucking Detective
or
Napier.
Or we could make wine and call it Nape's Grapes.
Oh, yeah.
That's not bad. That's not bad. Then we got to get, like, a sexy shirtless pic of Nape to put on the bottle.
Yes.
How do you get labels printed for beer bottles?
The same brew friend can also connect us to a label guy.
Okay. Well, we need a label guy so we can get a sexy Napier pic going on the bottle.
Go online.
Should we get special little tops for him?
Let's just say I know a guy who makes the machines that makes Bud Light's labels. So
drunk is our hookup.
This is
another one of those things that I feel like was probably interesting and Drunk probably could have talked about. But the only way to actually get anything out of Drunk is to pry it from him.
Well, there's nothing to pry from me. I just know the guy who knows how to fucking do the machines that prints the labels.
Drunk, are you going to take the lead on La Napier Chic brand beer?
Yeah, so long as we're able to, like, figure out a better name.
So if it doesn't happen, we can blame Drunk, right?
I'm sure you will.
Just another thing to check to the long list.
So, Drunk, we get some of this yoni beer, this vagina beer.
Yeah, I don't think that's going in my mouth, bro.
You're not going to try it?
I don't even like regular beer.
It's been established that it's okay. They're selling it on Indiegogo.
Wait a minute. I think we're getting to the root of something here. Drunk, do you eat pussy?
Yeah, I do.
You sound hesitant, like you do it out of duty as opposed to you enjoy doing it.
I wouldn't necessarily say duty.
But you normally don't eat pussy when there's no female present and recreationally while you're watching a hockey game.
What do you mean recreationally while you're watching a hockey game?
You're just like you do it when the mood strikes. Yeah.
You don't eat pussy like you eat Cheetos. Is that what you're saying?
I could say more, but I won't.
Go ahead.
He really likes Cheetos.
I don't understand what you're saying. I'm not calling you out here or anything. I just don't understand the reference.
There's no lady there.
Drunk has a lady.
Yeah, Drunk has a lady, but if you're drinking pussy beer, you're eating pussy.
So you're talking about...
It's not the beer. I was just trying to get the root of what it sounded like to me was that Drunk does not like to pleasure the ladies orally.
No.
Oh, I thought you were saying that Drunk doesn't eat a vagina because he's busy watching sports on television. You're saying that, like, you don't want to get a six-pack of vaginas and drink them with your pals.
Yeah,
that's
what
you're saying.
Nope, don't want to do that.
You don't want to sit around with your buddies on the couch on a Sunday afternoon and just eat pussy with them?
So what size bottle is this coming? Is this like a pint?
It's a 12-ounce bottle. It's a normal bottle.
It looked pretty extensive. It looked like a big old thing, but, I mean, you can't really tell.
Right.
But
That definitely looks like a pint. That's why I asked.
It's a big, big bottle. I mean, there it is between a chick's butt crack cheeks there.
It and, looks like shit on the bottom and piss water on the top.
It is a very dark beer.
It looks like Guinness.
Yeah, it looks like a Guinness. It has a big frothy head.
Maybe you have to
and
have
even
like
the bottle looks like a Guinness bottle.
Just to hide the vagina taste.
One looks like a Guinness bottle and one looks like a champagne bottle. So. Yeah.
Is that for her?
I think the champagne bottle is for her. I think that's how they extract the juices.
For €2 drunk on their Indiegogo campaign, you can be featured on their website wall of fame.
I don't want my name there.
Like, you can go to a page on their website, and you can see your name, and then you can send them an email criticizing what they did wrong on that webpage.
No, how much is €2?
It's about
$3.
$3, give or take.
That's not bad.
That's not bad. Yeah, you send it there, and you can live on in infamy. Because I imagine that people are probably going to go visit that wall of fame all the time, and then they're going to see Ryan's name up there on the wall of fame, and they're going to say, holy shit, there he is. Who's that guy?
Right? I think this would be great publicity for the show if, as a show, we were able to donate and they saw the WFOD podcast on there.
You think somebody will seek it out after that?
Hey, look at these shitheads donating to this vagina beer. What the fuck's their problem? And then they come and check us out, and then they find out what our problem is.
So, Travis, buddy.
Yeah, pal?
I want to talk about Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice with you a little bit.
Yeah, okay. I would love to do that, too, because I watched it again yesterday. I went to the 3D, too. And I went there, this time I went there completely objectively. The first time I went there as a fan, I wanted to see the movie. I was excited for it. I was a little apprehensive, like I said before, because of the shitty reviews. And I loved it. I went there this time completely objectively to pick the fucker apart. And I can't see the problems. I mean,
there's a lot of problems.
Chris. Even Doomsday this time looked better to me than he did the first. I loved it the second time more than I liked it the first time.
See, the thing that happened to me, and I think this happens with this Zack Snyder fella's movies a lot, is I leave there in like a daze where like I've seen so many visuals and I've seen too much shit going on and I've said, yeah, neat stuff. And to be honest, the first half hour or so, other than a couple of little hiccups, okay, for one, there might be some mild spoilers here, nothing major.
Yeah,
there's not really any spoilers to give because you've seen the movie in the trailer, if you've seen the trailer.
The only thing that could possibly be spoiled is the very, very ending, which we will not give away.
So why was Wonder Woman there?
Because she's just hanging out. She's trying to get a picture back from Lex Luthor.
Okay. At the very beginning, and this is the main gripe I had with the movie. At the very beginning, Wayne Enterprises is in Metropolis. There's a huge high rise full of people going about their work day that are looking outside and seeing aliens with laser eyes level all the buildings around them. And they're just standing there in a conference room looking out the window going, boy, this looks troubling. And Bruce Wayne is driving around, dodging collapsing buildings and roadblocks and going through all this peril.
Isn't he a Jeep?
To this Yeah, it was a Jeep.
Yeah, cool Jeep too.
This building. And he's calling them on their cell phone and telling them all to get out. And they're all just kind of looking out the window going, gee, Bruce sounded pretty upset. Do you think we should get out? And they're like, I don't know. And I mean, like, all the buildings around them are falling to the ground. And they're all just kind of standing there going.
That's a criticism of the Man of Steel, though. Because that was the exact same thing that happened in the Man of Steel. Like, it happened during the events of Man of Steel, and that's exactly what was happening while Zod and Superman were having. It came out of nowhere and happened super fast in that movie. Those people had no idea what was coming, and then all of a sudden that fucking thing dropped from the sky and started decimating buildings. There was no time for them to
be
like,
I see a building go down. I'm heading for Z Hills. That's all I'm saying.
That's absolutely fine. But remember September 11th? Remember when the first tower went down? That second tower didn't evacuate. There was still shit tons of people in that second tower. They didn't take off a half hour before the plane crashed into the second building.
Crashed into a building, and they said, oh, shit, this one plane crashed into the building. It didn't crash into our building. That seems fine. Aliens with laser eyes are killing all the buildings around them. They're literally the only one left in the skyline, and they're just standing there going, eh.
Well, that's not accurate. There were other buildings that were there.
Well, they,
like when Bruce Enterprise looked up at the skyline, Wayne Enterprises was not the only building left standing. There was tons of them around them still.
Okay, so when I left the movie, I kind of felt like, now, I had heard a weekend's worth. I went on a Tuesday. I had heard a weekend's worth of people just constantly shitting on it and saying how bad it was, and the critics all hated it. I think it had like a 30-something percent Metacritic. And the only things I heard were negative things. So I went into it with the expectation that it was going to be terrible. And so when I left, I felt there were definitely a lot of problems with it. And I wasn't like a huge fan of what I had seen. It wasn't like I was like, oh, that movie was great. But I was like, considering how bad people said it wasn't that bad.
Was it a thinking man's movie?
Not particularly, no. No, there wasn't a lot of thinking going on. So later on, I had multiple conversations with friends who wanted to talk about what they had seen. And what I found was after I said, oh, it wasn't as bad as people said, that when I then went to talk about the movie, the only things I had to say about it were negative things.
That was the same discussion that we had previous to this, though, that anybody can tear shit down and make you think that what you saw was worse than it actually was just by nitpicking every little goddamn thing
but
that happened.
But I couldn't come up with... I can come up with one good thing. I thought Ben Affleck did a serviceable job. I thought that's
a backhanded compliment, right?
Yeah,
there.
Yeah. And
serviceable.
See, this is fucking Batman.
That was even based on how low my expectations were, based on everybody saying all along, "Oh God, Ben Affleck's going to be a shitty Batman."
Yeah. Well, could you
even when he wasn't a bad Batman, then I was pleasantly surprised. Ben Affleck wasn't a bad Batman.
So, thumbs up or thumbs down?
I give it a hearty thumbs down, drunk.
Well, I'm not going to go see it anyway, so...
You fucking asshole.
Dude, I literally don't ever go see movies ever. I didn't even...
Good.
I haven't seen The Avengers yet, for fuck's sake.
Don't.
None of them.
Okay, now, so compare that movie to Deadpool. Tell me what else...
You can't. Deadpool was fun.
You have to wonder if Deadpool, like, really fucked it in the ass, because Deadpool's kind of a different thing, and it was fun, and it was
the people that were there enjoyed making it.
Yeah, and then, like, you know, you go back to that, and it's this really grim fuck of a movie, and you're like, God, I thought that we were past this.
Why would you be, though? Like, I mean, it's the story plays off to be a grim thing. Like, it's not supposed to be happy-dappy. Right. What are you looking for?
Travis, will you please at least admit that there were some problems?
There were tons of problems. We're not talking about modern masterpiece directed by fucking Martin Scorsese to try to win Oscars. This isn't a fucking gangster flick made with Oscar-winning actors.
But you
it's
could very...
Superman movie. No, think about Avengers Age of Ultron. That movie was not good. They played on the same tropes that the first one did with the mind control. The whole plot point of the entire movie was the fucking mind control, but, which they did in the first one.
But
it's the same thing.
Age of Ultron had like a story that for the most part made sense.
I had no problem following Batman Superman's story. What was the
problem?
There
were so many leaps. There were so many weird things that didn't make sense that, like, you scratch your head and you just get angry about.
I'm trying to find it. Like I said, the second time I really did as much as I possibly could go in objectively. And I'm trying to watch it, and I'm trying to say, where are these threads that people can't find that link the story from scene to... Because it is... Zack Snyder makes movies that are cool scenes linked together.
Travis,
and that's what
I guess you're just going to have to go see it a third time then.
Motherfucker. I'll wait till the director's comes out. Director's cut comes out in July with the extra half hour on it.
I'm not calling, like, the Ghostbusters movie when it comes out on the first day. It's not a premiere. It's an autopsy. Everybody's going to go there to see how it died.
So do we have any movies left?
Hey, Travis, Travis, Travis.
Yeah, no, I, no.
Travis, Travis.
Hey.
Travis.
Yes, sir. I respect your opinion. I don't share it.
Travis.
Mm-hmm. Here I am.
Why do sharks swim in salt water?
I don't know.
Because if they swam in pepper water, it would make them sneeze.
So do we have any more movies left? Or
what?
For the Hollywood thing. Like, do we have any more left?
The Hollywood Fantasy League drunk.
Yeah.
That's what you're referring to. The Hollywood Fantasy League, we have the Jungle Book left.
When's
we
that
need
come
the
out?
Jungle Book to come up with 67 points
Fuck.
To beat the Chris Brake Show.
It looks great. Jungle Book looks great.
I feel like that's not a leap, is it? 67
The Revenant
points?
Scored 67 points. So a Disney movie directed by Jon Favreau could very easily make 67 points, I would think. I wouldn't think it would get a big dog shit review.
Well, shit, his movie about food trucks probably would have made 67 fucking points, right?
But, yeah, that's the only game in town. The Furnacast...
That food truck movie wasn't bad either.
The Furnacast is going to finish in fourth. Bad Flicks is going to finish in third. Those are set in stone. Who comes in first and second is really all that's left. And it all comes down to whether or not the Jungle Book... can score 67 points.
Hail Caesar had a big old 15.
I can't believe nobody took Deadpool before we did.
We had Deadpool as the third, or no, the fourth pick.
The Bad Flicks had Hateful Eight as their top pick?
Yeah.
Yikes.
There was a few missteps in that first round. I think Batman, Superman, you had to take that gamble in the first round. I think you had to, and I think Chris Brake taking that first overall was probably... the smart choice. I mean, just based on how much money it was going to make, you go with the money and hope the reviews are
Zootopia,
there. Right?
Zootopia.
That amount of points is, what is it, like second only to Deadpool?
Batman vs. Superman made 115 total points. It made $267 million, but the Metacritic was just dog shit. Deadpool did not make as much money, but it had a way better Metacritic. I think its Metacritic was in the mid-70s.
Oh, yeah. You could tell everybody who was making that movie really wanted to make a good movie, and that included the director. The Ghostbusters director doesn't give a shit.
Zootopia made 112 points. So actually, Chris Brake's second movie almost made as much as their first
overall. I don't even remember that one. How long ago did that come out?
Not long ago. You know what?
It's a good movie.
I saw the Zootopia. The Zootopia had a very strong message.
Yeah.
The Zootopia, like... You watch the first, like, 45 minutes of it, and it's like this cute Disney movie. And then, like, it really shifts gears in the second half and becomes this big, like, anti-racism thing. And it's like,
My 4-year-old almost shit his pants when they discovered what they were doing with the animals, and that tiger jumped at the fucking glass wall that they were, like, supposed to look at. He, the shock and awe on his face... that I saw, and he wasn't right for a good 20 minutes after that. All he talked about for the next, like, 4 hours was he liked that movie except for that one part.
Well, and you might not want to take him to the Jungle Book, because the Jungle Book has got not only a tiger, but a tiger with Idris Elba's voice. Jesus.
A black tiger?
Right, yeah. A black tiger, Travis.
Yeah, it sounds like a superhero.
Black tiger?
Yeah.
We should do the Adventures of Black Tiger.
Done.
What does he do?
Done.
What
does he do? He solves crimes.
Oh, okay then.
So when does this end?
End of this month.
End of this month. So start a new one in May.
Someone will have to take the Furnacast spot because they will be kicked the fuck out.
Thank God.
Why are you so mean about it?
That's the way it works. You come in last, you get kicked the fuck out.
So with that being said, have you considered changing from Metacritic to Rotten Tomatoes?
No.
No, fuck that.
Metacritic is
why do I keep
favorable?
Giving shit about Metacritic or Rotten Tomatoes? Who gives a shit which one I use?
I don't know. Metacritic always seems to be way lower.
Well, good.
Okay.
If everybody has good reviews, then it's only a box office competition. Then who gives a shit?
Fair enough.
It's not just box office. If we were just picking the movie that'd make the most money, it wouldn't be much of a game. It's strategy, goddammit.
So we did good on that How to Be Single, huh?
No.
Considering it was the fourth round, we did pretty all right.
Pretty all right. Better than Zoolander. Hell yeah.
God, that movie shit the bed.
Guys, I mean, that's all I got, I guess. I mean, unless we have a call. Do we have a call?
Let me check Skype. Nope.
No, we don't. We don't have a call?
No
sure?
Calls.
No calls.
There's no... Drunk, is there a call?
No, I don't see a call.
Are you sure? I think I might see a call. No? We didn't get a call, guys. Maybe next week. Maybe next week we'll get a call. I don't know. Drunk, do you have anything else, buddy? Anything that you want the people to know about?
Should I get a second vehicle? Is the question going through?
Why would you need a second vehicle? Is your one vehicle not reliable?
No, my one vehicle is very reliable, but a second vehicle has come to me, offered to me very cheaply.
Can you flip it?
It's not that I want to flip it. It's a truck, so it's like, who doesn't want a truck?
Yeah, fair enough.
Because, I mean, I always find myself wanting or needing to borrow my father's truck every now and again. So,
do you have
drunk having a truck is awesome. You should get a truck.
Even though it's just pretty much going to sit in the driveway.
No, you should drive it.
Huh?
You should drive it all the time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it is a 92, so it's not the newest.
Oh, no, don't get it.
Travis!
Don't get it at all, period?
No, I wouldn't get that 92 truck, no.
Did we cheer you up at all, Travis?
I don't know. I don't know if it's that you cheered me up or that I saw that I got a box of comics on the doorstep today, and I specifically bought them due to the fact that I saw online that they were heating up, and I had a resource that I knew it was a comic book website that they sold comics. They were shutting down, and they actually closed their doors a while ago, but the website's still up. And I saw that this comic was going for $15 to $20 a pop online, and I was able to pull down 18 copies of it for $2 a piece. And I got them today, and they weren't damaged, and I sold one right away for $15. So I think I'm going to make some money. So it's either the fact that you told some great jokes or that I'm going to make a bunch of money off these books.
I heard the back issue part of the comic book world is kind of getting shit on right now.
Well, you got to know how to play the game. I love my comics, but I also love making money on them. So if I can find some shit for cheap and sell it for way more than I paid for it, I'm totally into it. Because mostly it just pays for more of my hobby. So,
the stores are going under. Like, the stores can't keep their doors open anymore because people online keep selling shit.
Well, although, like, depends on what you do, because my local comic shop that I've been going to for years, and the guy that owns it's a pretty good friend of mine, he month after month is having his best month sales-wise ever, so I don't know if the movies are helping or if he's diversified enough that it's working out for him, but he's constantly, you know, growing, so, and he's been in business for quite a while.
Well, titties.
But he focuses on new shit. He doesn't do back issues. He doesn't give a shit about back issues. He sells to his customers on a pull-by-pull basis, so maybe that's the way to go.
Probably.
Anything, Nate?
Nope.
That's it, then, I guess.
Also, Bob Iger, the guy that runs Disney, his number two stepped down today in the wake of, and it's not directly tied to it, but I find it really weird, that it was right after the release of those Panama Papers. And if you don't know what those are, you should look those up because it's a big fucking deal.
So what you're saying is I should submit my resume tonight.
Yes, you will be the number two at Disney.
Yes.
I can see you heralding in the Tangled franchise and bringing...
Absolutely. I'm a calming presence, goddammit.
Hansel and Pascal back to life.
I'll have no fear to tell Michael Iger how to run his business.
Bob Iger.
I'm sorry.
That was a Freudian slip.
You're not going to last very long if you don't even know your boss's name.
Listen here, Mike. I'm going to tell you what's wrong.
Well,
there we go.
That's my mama.
As he murdered you.
I want you to know it's over.
Well. Bye.
Thank you for listening. You can hear us live every Monday night at 9, 8 central on strangelabel.com. You can download all of our past episodes as well as other goodies at wfodix.com. Pull up our show on iTunes, Stitcher, or the TuneIn app. You can follow us on Twitter at WFODix. You can also follow Travis at ProduceTravis or Drunk at DrunkardSTL. We are on Facebook, facebook.com/WFODix. You can email us at WFODshow@gmail.com. Or you can give us a call when we're live or leave us a message that we may play later on. That phone number is 636-487-4263. Again, thank you for listening. We will see you back here next week.